I'm not gonna lie. Most of the pandemic, I thought I might die. 6 feet deep with my ego and pride. What a time to be alive. Haven't even made it to 35. Now I feel like I might be in my prime. Sunny days come when you get through the night. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. That was Judah and the Lion, and you're listening to Faith Matters. Welcome to the show if you've tuned in. We've got a great lineup today. I'm really looking forward to today's show. We've got Denise in the studio. We're going to unpack her blog like we normally do during this show, and we're talking about Thanksgiving today. Yay! This is going to be awesome. And then at 1 o'clock, I've got a new segment in the show called Marriage Matters. And indeed it does. We've got Umberto and Jax coming in, and they're going to be doing a monthly slot with us around marriage. And I encourage people to email in if you have questions you'd like to get some answers to or have unpacked. You can email faithmatters 98.1 98.1@gmail.com. And those will come through to me, and I'm happy to keep your name confidential if you prefer that. So fire away. You've got questions about marriage. I encourage you to send us an email. So I'm going to play one more track, and then we'll have Denise on.
I'm a simple man with dust on these cracked and calloused hands. I ain't rich enough to buy myself a chance. I'm like everybody else. I got a twisted, broken story I could tell. I paved the road to hell with stones I laid myself. And I built it all too well. Well, I know I've done, and if judgment should come, I couldn't face it. on my own. But the Savior stepped in, saw the worst of my sin, and just erased it. Guess you could say I've got a friend in high places. Hey, I'm living proof what a carpenter from Nazareth can do. How a hammer and a nail can make things new. And I don't know why he cared enough to turn his head and hear my prayer. Leave heaven when he could have just stayed there. It really don't seem fair. No, it don't seem fair. Cause I know what I've done, and if judgment should come, I couldn't face it on my own. But the Savior stepped in, saw the worst of my sin, and just erased it. I guess you could say I've got a friend in high places. You've done or where you've been, just open up the door and let him in. If you need a friend.
Yeah, that was Zach Williams, Friend in High Places. Welcome aboard, Denise.
Hello.
Here,
I'm already getting distracted.
Denise has written a really great blog this week. It's very much an American idea, this, Denise. She's written, it's all on Thanksgiving. So maybe just unpack that a little bit for us and why we should have that here, Denise. So many American things that we do that. Some things we don't want, and some things I think are helpful. Yeah. This is one that I think is quite helpful, but I'm looking at a turkey dinner when I'm looking at Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
So tell me about it.
Yeah, so I mean, just a few weeks ago we obviously had Halloween, and, you know, when I was growing up, Halloween was not part of our culture whatsoever. And I went actually to the US when I was 12, on my 12th birthday. And my birthday is the day before Halloween. And so I spent Halloween that year in America. And I was absolutely blown away. I mean, 12, that was a long time ago. But everyone was dressed up and walking the streets. And it was this huge culture shock, really. And yet now, jump forward a generation, and... you know, you see heaps of kids and adults dressed on the street here and walking around. And so it's over, you know, a period of time that's been assimilated into our culture. And I kind of think of the Thanksgiving meal, which has also been around for a long time in the US. And we see it really just in movies and on TV.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's what I just got distracted with. I just looked back at my deleted emails. This morning I probably got about 5 or 6 emails that I just get from American organisations, and it was all happy Thanksgiving. So I just went delete.
Just hang on a minute.
Okay,
is this a good day to be talking about Thanksgiving? Right, me and Denise were discussing this just before we got on here, and of course it is. Yes, it is a great day.
I mean, it's great, but like, I don't like, they're not important emails that I need to keep forever. So I was just like, you know, keeping my inbox nice and tidy, keeping it nice and clear. But, yeah, I just think it's one of those things that we know that they do. What cracks me up is the Black Friday sale. So that's tomorrow, because in America, the Thursday, well, tomorrow their time, Thursday is the big Thanksgiving, you know, family event. It's always a Thursday, so that Friday is a bit like our Boxing Day sales. Like, they're right. all together, they've got the whole weekend, so they will go out shopping. So that's what Black Friday is all about. And here, we have suddenly taken on the Black Friday, but we haven't taken on the Thanksgiving.
Yeah, interesting. Let's go there, Denise.
Because
why is it?
Yeah, so I just wrote in the blog about, you know, our Kiwi culture of tall poppy syndrome, and how if somebody's starting to do well, we sort of cut them back down to size, and we can be quite harsh on people. And I just thought, actually, the lesson of Thanksgiving really is being thankful, like, you know, appreciating people, noticing, you know, the people who are there all the time, and they are just doing things that we take for granted. So sometimes actually just noticing and saying, hey, thanks, really do appreciate that.
Yeah.
That can go a long way for a person.
Yeah, we do. It would be good to see this uplifted a bit, I think, Denise, in our culture. We can often not notice what we're thankful for. We can take it for granted, like you say. And gratitude is actually a way of being to help our mind health as well. You know, it's a different word, being gratitude or, you know, being thankful, but they both pretty much mean the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. you know, in the counselling arena, often we use this one when people have quite a negative thinking pattern, you know, like whatever they bring to mind is negative. You know, they often don't see the positive, and it's quite tricky to change our thinking into being grateful or noticing what we're grateful for. And I think for some people who, when they find it difficult to even connect into that sense of thankfulness, a good way to start is, if you're living in Whangaroa, you can look out your window, if there's not a building next to it, you know, but many, many places we have here, beautiful spaces and great views, you know, you can look out and be thankful for what you see outside, the sunshine. It could be a rainy day, and you could be thankful for that because it's watering your garden. It could be that, you know, you notice the ocean and just really engage with that and be really thankful for your environment. Or maybe you're just listening to the birds singing, and it just feels nice, and you can feel really grateful for it.
Now, there's a offshoot I can go on. So I learned yesterday about a bird called the shining cuckoo that is around here, and there is one out at my neighbour's house, outside their house on their tree, and it's singing Mozart's opera Figaro, Figaro, Figaro every morning. And I'm like, why is there a bird singing Figaro? And so I like looked up Mozart's opera the other day and everything to try and find out what the heck. Anyway, it turns out they said, yes, it's called a shining cuckoo, and it can mimic, but it has amazing song. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to stop trying to look for meaning in Figaro. And I'm going to go, wow, there's a type of bird here I didn't know about.
Yeah, I think connecting into our bird life is quite awesome, because I'm a nerd. If I could afford it, I'd be a bird watcher. I'd go out and watch birds. I love nature interacting.
Yeah.
And I love what, you know, I have bird baths around my home, so I can watch them having a swim, and if my cat doesn't catch them, yeah, no, she's gonna do that. She's a good girl. So I find, you know, focusing in on something like that is actually a really healthy thing for us to do, because we can be so overwhelmed with the noises of the world and everything around us that we miss the simple things that bring us joy, or that make us realise that there's nature out there, and there's, you know, a growing planet that we're not really engaging with, because we're so busy working, we're so busy doing things that we're not actually engaging with the environment that brings us so much health and well-being.
Yeah. Okay, another Denise bird story. So just last week, a bird built a nest in our carport, And so I took a photo. The next day I sent it on our family chat, and my husband said, oh, did they rebuild it? I was just like, well, no, I took this yesterday. It was still there today. And he's like, oh, well, I actually got rid of it last night. I was like, oh, my gosh. So anyway, the bird, every time he walked into the carpet, would take off. And so what I've started doing is I walk in a little bit more gently, a little bit less, like, you know.
Purposeful.
Purposeful. I'm here to do this thing and get out. And it's just staring at me, and so now I can go into the carport and I can put something rubbish, or I can open the cupboard and put something in or out the cupboard, and the bird just sits there. It doesn't fly away. The first few days it was having a fit. If I came anywhere near it, it would take off. But actually just that nature and slowing down, like just by having this bird in the carport, I have slowed down so that it feels safe in its own space.
Oh, that's really
I don't know
nice.
What's going to happen when Leonard's home tomorrow.
I really like that. You've slowed down so it could have it.
I think he's going
to. And but you can still engage with that and
slow down too.
And feel a sense of joy there. You know, like it is fascinating. That's why I like to be a bird watcher, Denise. I know it's all a bit weird, but hey, listen to Florence and the Machine and just shake it out.
Regrets collect like old friends. Here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way, I can see no way. And all of the ghouls come out to play. And every demon wants his pound of flesh. But I'd like to keep some things to myself. I'd like to keep my issues drawn. It's always darkest before the dawn. And I've been a fool and I've been blind. I can never leave the past behind. I can see no way, I can see no way. I'm always dragging that horse around. All of his questions, such a mournful song. Tonight I'm gonna bury that horse in the ground. 'Cause I like to keep my
listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. Welcome to the show. If you're joining us, we're talking about gratefulness, being grateful. This is an American concept until we want to bring it into Aotearoa and make it one of ours instead of all the other ones we've got. This would be a good one to take on board. Yeah, I don't, like I say, I'm actually going to read out a piece of Denise's blog in here just to help us move into the subject a bit more. So it says, to acknowledge or appreciate or show gratitude for something means that you had to notice the positive that happened. Just hold that thought. Where we can't find anything to be thankful for, we're looking at the negative and keeping our focus there. If that is you, being thankful is going to require that you look at things differently. So, I mean, yeah, okay.
You're going to ask me a deep question. Why don't I turn that around quickly and say, what does that mean to you, Marie?
Yeah, there you go. You can answer that. What does that mean for you, Denise? Okay, look. I do find that in conversation with people, often when I'm looking for a positive feedback, I'll get the negative feedback first, or people will show me the negative before they get to the positive. And because I like encouragement, I actually find that really difficult, and I switch off straight away because I'm like, that just blew everything out, didn't it? Like,
yeah.
So how do we switch this, Denise, when we've been so used to perhaps going to the negative and not even noticing that we're going to the negative? I'm not sure that, that might be the first port of call, is that we're noticing. We might find that by the reaction of the other person.
Right.
That might be an indicator.
Yeah. I think sometimes, it would be, somebody might read that and think, but she doesn't know the circumstance that I'm in, and so how can I be thankful for this? And I think what I was trying to get at is that it's not necessarily being thankful for the awful stuff, but it's in the awful stuff finding something to be thankful for. Because, I just know for myself there's only so much being in the negative or sort of living on high alert that I can cope with, and then I sort of start to shut down. And so if I can be trying to find something to be thankful for, even the fact that, I know that this will end.
This too will end. This too will pass.
I think, when the kids were little, the benefit of child number two is that you've learned that every stage is a stage and it will eventually pass. So you can actually apply that into, a stage in life and go, this has been a really hard season, but it's not going to last forever. I'm thankful that I've been able to endure it so far. I really need more endurance, but at least
thankful that you're growing, stretching. Yeah, it does. The stretching and the growing does hurt. There's no doubt about it. If we want to change something in our life, then we have to take responsibility for it and make the change ourselves and not make other people responsible for that change. Which means, it takes a maturity, I think, Denise, to want to do that. Some people really get a lot out of being negative. I don't know why, but I can't actually be around it too much because I will always, then I'll start to go, what about this and what about that? I'll start to try and look for something good because I find negativity, it just brings me down, and then all I can think about is the negative, and I forget what good has happened.
To be fair, there are people who are in really hard stages of life, and, when you're grieving or when you're going through something really difficult, actually just be kind to yourself. If you can't find something to be thankful for, well, that's actually really sad.
But another person might come along and be thankful for you. We can get our thankfulness from other people. We might be having a bad day, and we might have grief sitting over us, or maybe some trauma or something we've gone through. And just having somebody acknowledge us in the street and saying hello or giving us a smile or, you know, can lift us. And the other person doesn't know what they've done, but it can make us feel like, well, I don't know, feel a bit better, you know. Or like we talked about last week, you know, putting a smile on our face, the muscles, the brain receives the signal that we're happy even though we're not happy.
Actually, I didn't do that after I left here. I should have stuck a pen in my mouth and see what happens.
I probably needed it a few times last week too. I don't know how many people would have been doing that one, but if you didn't know, it's a psychology trick. You put a pen in your mouth and make it look like you're smiling and hold it in there for about 3 minutes, and the brain receives that signal that you're smiling and that you're happy even when you're not, and sets off the Dr. Feelgood feeling. You know, and believes, you know, so it's a way of changing or moving a funky situation you're in. Yeah,
you
funky
know,
mood.
One of the emails, one of the thankfulness emails I got this morning was really interesting, and I can't think off the top of my head which organisation it was from, but they were actually talking about, like, if you're working towards growth and you're in a hard situation, you could actually be thankful that for something like, for example, when I'm through this, I'm going to be stronger.
Yeah.
Like, thinking, you know, this is a hard season, but what could I learn through it and be thankful for that learning? Because then if you've learned it, well then you've already realised there's something to learn here. So already your brain's going to be sort of moving in that direction and helping you process it quicker.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I thought, oh, well, that's an interesting take on Thanksgiving. I'd not really thought of it from that angle, but...
Yeah, well, I can certainly say that from doing my Bachelor of Counselling, you know, that was a tough journey. And I remember God saying to me, because it was a real God thing for me to do that. I felt God tell me to do my Bachelor of Counselling. And in that, my answer back to that was like, well, that's, you know, impossible, because I really didn't go to school. I didn't do school. And academically, I was not, you know, I was not there. And I hadn't even opened up a computer, Denise. You know, I didn't know how to work the computer. And it felt impossible for me, because everything that I knew about myself came to the forefront. Every negative thing that I know about me that would tell me I could not do that. It was very front and centre. And I clearly, because I remember thinking, well, I just can't do that. It's impossible. I couldn't even write out the application form.
Right. Yeah.
And I felt God say to me, just do one day at a time. And it was very clear to me. And that's exactly how I started, one day at a time. So one day I filled out, I spent the whole day filling out the application form.
Wow.
And it took me all day.
Yeah.
But I learnt things on the computer as I was doing that, how to save and how to spell check. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for spell check. I'm dyslexic as. It's messy in there.
Right.
But I must say, over the years, my spelling has gotten better and better, and I can notice words now that are spelt incorrectly and adjust. I would never have been able to do that before. So, I felt God say to me, just do one day at a time. And that's exactly how I did my first year, was just one day at a time, just one, complete one thing, you know, focus on one task and complete it. It took me a whole year to adjust everything within me, to learn, to even feel that I could learn or retain information.
It's huge. I've got a friend who just finished her social work degree last week, and so she started, they did quite a few courses in common with the counselling students. And my goodness, the things they bring up and make you confront in your own life to deal with, so that you can be able to hold it at a distance when you're in practice with somebody else.
Massive.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to question yourself. What do you do for 3 years full-time counselling? I mean, that's the question, eh? Like, what are you guys doing? Like, how hard is this? But, yeah, people have no idea the depth that counselling goes to. And if you cannot do your own work, there is no way you will go to those hard places with somebody else. So, you know, a counsellor needs to have done their own work. Otherwise, there will be many blocks in the road, and you just won't do. You won't do anything. So, I was extremely grateful for my faith at the beginning of my journey in my Bachelor of Counselling. Without those promptings, without that, outside affirmation, I didn't have the belief in myself to do it. And look, I walked into that classroom and my belief in myself dropped like even further because they were all academics, really clever people. But I had a story, Denise, and I had the background history of why a person would go to counselling. So I had all the stuff, but no theory, no ability to place it and use it going down the track for the benefit of other people and myself, you know. So extremely thankful for the hard journey. And sometimes we can be afraid of the journey because it is too hard. But all I can do is encourage, if you're on a journey like that, that feels like this is impossible, just one day at a time. That's all I can say, you know. You can do one day at a time, and it's like, how do you eat an elephant? Terrible thing to say, that saying, isn't it? One bite at a time.
Thank you for the offer.
Don't want to do that. Not going to happen. Stupid saying, but I guess it's meaning, how do we get through something that's just too big for us?
So then if you're somebody who's really genuinely struggling and you can't lift your eyes at the moment, well then, you know, be kind to yourself. But for the rest of us, maybe be looking for those people whose eyes are down.
Oh, I think there's nothing better that we can do, Denise, than to encourage other people.
Mm.
Honestly, we do not do it enough. I know personally when somebody notices something in my life or something that I'm doing, it just makes me feel included, I guess, part of the human race,
yes.
You know, that I'm seen and known.
Yeah.
It's not an ego thing, and I think we get afraid of this, that if I encourage you, if I point out what you're doing that I'm liking or whatever, that you'll get too big for your boots.
And it's your tall poppy syndrome.
and we can't have you smiling too brightly.
Yeah.
Or looking... too confident, because, you know, I actually don't know why, because I think because I've come from hard places, I love to see people excel.
Mm.
I love to see the gold in them shine, you know, the diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
I love it. It just, I get a real buzz out of it. I'm very joyful when that happens. So I think encouragement... But then I'm a natural encourager. It's quite natural for me. I've been around many, many people that it's not natural for. And so it took me a while to figure out, why are you people so nasty? You know, why can't you just say something nice and acknowledge something nice, not as a gesture, but because you genuinely mean it, you know. But then I realised that not everyone is like me and finds that easy to do.
Yeah. A lot of people are very insecure and they're constantly trying to show themselves in a good light. And I think they think that if they point out someone else's good points, that somehow that would reflect badly on them because this person's suddenly better than them. But that's still not what it's all about at all, actually. When you actually put that in the blog, there was a study that was done, and people who were observing, you know, if you're somebody who says thankful, people look really favourably at that. And if you're someone who receives thanks, people also look favourably at that. So actually it builds relationship.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So why? Why do we struggle? I'm not sure, but all I know is that if we want to stop that struggle, then individually we have to make a change. We have to be the ones that start to see what's going well, or notice, you know, I mean, even noticing when you come home to your home and the dishes are done and the house is tidy and saying to your partner, you know, oh, man, you do a good job, so appreciate you. I mean, how many of us do that? Yeah. Or how many of us just come home and don't even think anything? We just look and the place looks clean. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. The little fairy's been in here and cleaned up again. Exactly. We don't even give it a second thought. But how many times do we actually come alongside each other and notice and go, man, that was awesome what you did? Mm. Or say, like, oh, I really appreciated when you said that. It just made me feel so good, you know? What is wrong, Denise?
I don't know.
Is it a culture thing? Yeah, I've talked about this before with Aaron. I think it is a culture thing in New Zealand. We have a pioneering culture. Suck it up, you know, get going.
Exactly. And harden actually, up. I think that might have something to do with it. It is that suck it up, you know, and just keep going. So you don't want to complain because you just want to get the job done.
Mm.
But then you also, you're not inviting other people into the journey because it's all, I'm just going to get it done myself.
Yeah.
And actually, I think that being thankful is more about connection and about relationship, about noticing each other and seeing each other's contributions.
Mm.
And so if we're very much focused on, I'm just doing it myself, maybe we don't see what's going on around us, just don't notice.
No, we don't. But we need to be encouraging to notice. So I'm going to head into another song right now, but I'm going to tell you what it's about. It's called Little Drummer Boy. This is my first Christmas song, Denise, of the year, okay? I don't play a lot of Christmas songs. I love Little Drummer Boy, and it's sung by for King and Country, so enjoy.
Sim! Me and my trove.
Absolutely love that, and I'm going to tell you why, because I think at Christmas time we can often think of what gift, you know, can I give, and it can be expensive and we can get really stressed out on the money factor of giving. But I want to encourage you, what gift do you have inside yourself? The little drummer boy talks about, in the song, he talks about giving his gift of drumming, his drum, before the king, which was Jesus. And I love the bit where it says, he turned and smiled at me. And I think when we give our best, we can't help but be noticed because our heart is involved in giving our gift. And so my encouragement for you as we come into the season of high expense for some people, what gift do you have that's already within you? It could be a gift of playing the guitar, it could be a gift of singing, it could be the gift of telling a joke, it could be the gift of dance, it could be a gift of a story. What do you already have that you could give to your family that's truly from you that you want to give to them? So maybe that's an encouragement for somebody today. You don't have to think of gifts in relation to being expense. What do you have within yourself that you can give? And I'm sure the gift will be beautiful. Here you go, Denise. That was my bit of encouragement.
Yeah. So... And just being aware to be thankful when people do, you know, be genuine with you and share a little part of their life. I can remember years ago I was with a bunch of ladies, and they were very, very practical ladies, very helpful. And they, I can remember them having a little bit of a grizzle one day about, you know, people who just give money, why aren't they more like us and get in there and help? Whether it was making a meal or whether it was, you know, helping in the garden or whatever it was. And I just thought, oh, you know, we're all different and we all have different contributions. I mean, even that moment last week with Roger talking about the pails of paint in his farming shed, and he was like, let's move on. Yeah. Like, but as a farmer, he's got resources that somebody who lives in the city may not have or in the town. So, you know, we all have different things that we can bring. So, you know, again, coming back to the being thankful, you know, be thankful for what you do have. Be thankful for what other people can offer you. Because, you know, everybody has got their own little bucket of resources that are quite different from the next person. So just to be able to share with each other is amazing. You know, even if it's not what you expected, you know, the fact that they thought of you and offered you a little part of themselves is pretty special.
Oh, absolutely. How much do we enjoy when we get something from a kid? They've drawn us a picture and their heart's involved, eh? And it's a little stick figure and it's probably not looking like what it's supposed to look like.
And the colours may not be what you'd see in the natural.
But I've still got a picture from a little girl that came over to our place a while back, sitting on the fridge, and I love it, you know. brings me a lot of joy. And it's the simple things in life. I think because the child's taken the time out to draw you something, you know, and for them it's a masterpiece. And for us it's like, okay, explain this to me. But our thankfulness over that, you know, to be receiving a gift from somebody that's a heart response, I think is a beautiful thing, Denise.
Yeah.
So
one thing I was putting in the blog was about, you know, if this is not your normal response and you think, oh my gosh, what are people going to think if I suddenly start, you know, noticing stuff? Well, this is the time of year to get away with it.
Like, yeah, it is. It's a good time to practice,
yeah,
huh?
All the movies come out and they're just like, you can't say it at Christmas. When can you say it? It's like, okay, let's try.
Yeah.
Let's try being nice. Just one day. Let's see if we can do it.
Yeah, because in here you've got trying to make it a habit. Yeah, I'd like to take that. It says here, I'd like to take that a step further, though. Expressing gratitude, how can it be expressing gratitude now can be practiced to keep it going. Did that make sense? Okay. To make
sense
it a habit. There we go. So to make it a habit. So, yeah, we can take on good habits. And like you say, Christmas, we're coming into the giving season, the receiving season as well, the family season. So, yeah, the gift of giving ourselves and our being present with our family members and our loved ones is a good gift, not be thinking
actually
other thoughts.
Thinking about what you were saying with your how you started your counselling course, that just the one thing a day. I mean, for somebody who this is brand new to them, it could just be one thing a day that you're just like, okay, can I, you know, notice something positive, one thing today, and actually, you know, speak it.
Yeah, and notice for yourself what happens, because it will change the cloud over your life, I think. It is such a wonderful thing to do. There is so much healthy kickback from this when we start to notice, because when we start to notice, other people notice as well.
Yes.
And they will notice you're noticing. And suddenly we're all noticing something's changing and the atmosphere's lifting and we're seeing things grow, I think, in a healthy way. And some of us may advance a lot further because of that, instead of being stuck in the miry clay of not being able to get anywhere because we can't see any good. We can't see what's working well.
And if there are younger people around you too, like younger people will pick up on that atmosphere.
Oh, they so do.
And will mimic or mirror sort of what we do. So if we're starting to look for things to be thankful for, and especially if we can say it to a young person, hey, I noticed that you just did the lawns. You did a great job. Thank you. Or a little person, you know, thanks for your help.
Yeah.
That's what they'll start to mimic. And if you can get young people being thankful as well, like, that's awesome. Because there's a whole different mindset between being entitled and being thankful.
Oh, amen to that. And I tell you what, you cannot, I'm gonna say this, it'll annoy some people, you cannot over-encourage your children, okay? You can't do it. They won't turn into little tall poppies and think that they're amazing and the world needs to bow before them. They don't have our mindset as adults. They are kids. So kids receive encouragement like, I don't know, chocolate. For me, love it. It's a wonderful thing, and our kids need to be encouraged. So, yeah, we're gonna head into Toby Mac, Eye on It, and we have Umberto and Jax in the studio. They're going to be talking around marriage matters. I'm really looking forward to that. So that's all coming up real soon.
Set my eyes to the west, walking away from it all, reaching for what lies ahead.
Yeah, it was Toby Mac, Eye on It. And yes, like I said, we have Umberto and Jax in the studio, and we're going to be talking about marriage matters. And I encourage anyone who has any questions around marriage to email your questions in on faithmatters98.1 FM at gmail.com. Your names will say confidential, if that's what you're wanting. No problem there. But hey, we've all got questions around marriage, so I'm going to set up with Umberto and Jax now. We've still got Denise in the studio, so this is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
You're like an angel that I've seen before in my dreams. When I'm broken and down on my knees, you come pick me up again. You teach me kindness and show me what love really means. Without you I'd be incomplete. You're the better half of me. Oh, my love, when I feel lost and it's hard to see, you are the lighthouse that's guiding me. Every second with you I feel complete. When everything feels like it's going wrong, you are the shoulder. You're the better half of me. You are the only one I know that I'll ever need. You're perfectly perfect, you see. You're the better half of me. Everything that I have, take it all, take it back. All the tracks, all the cash, as long as it's just you and me, that's all.
Beautiful as that, the better half of me. And I have Umberto and Jax. Kia ora.
Hello, kia ora.
Yeah, you might have to bring your, I mean, you've got a good strong voice there, Umberto.
There we go.
Jax is a little bit more quieter. She might have to bring you that a bit closer. So I'm really rapt to have this couple in the studio, and I'm even more rapt to be talking around marriage. It's something that it's so important, and it's a subject that we don't often get to talk about much. So that's the reason I've got Umberto and Jax here. So we're just going to intro the show. So tell me, where do you guys come from? Because are you from New Zealand? I don't think you're from New Zealand.
So you want the long story or the short story?
You give me whatever story you want.
Well, we grew up in what is now Zimbabwe. We grew up, we met there, went to school there, met there, got married there, and then we did the sort of natural migration route south to South Africa. So we spent 15 years in South Africa, and then we moved to Germany, spent 5 years in Germany, and then we finally found our way to New Zealand, this amazing, beautiful country that that is just incredible. We love it. And we've been here now just
almost 20 years.
And settled in Raglan.
Yeah, we love Raglan. Yeah. We just moved to Raglan 2 years ago, so 2 years, and yeah, before that we were in Auckland, the Big Smoke.
Yeah.
And happy to be out of it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Don't regret it at all.
Yeah, happy to be out of it. And in between that, we also did 2 years in Sydney. So we went to Sydney for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And that was all, those were all, we feel, very much God-given moves. We felt led to most of those moves in one way or another, including coming to the land of the
long
white cloud.
Yep.
And yeah, so that's our kind of like our migratory story.
Hmm.
But
well, you were born in Italy, to go back to the beginning.
Yeah, to go back to the
Italian.
And I was born in Scotland.
So.
Oh, love both of those places.
Both fiery.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, this is going to be great. So how long have you been married?
41 and
yeah.
a half years, basically.
Mm-hmm. 41 and a half years.
And that is why
yeah.
I have them on the show.
Yeah.
Because they got creaky bones.
Oh, yeah.
Creaky bones in the marriage. Not, I don't mean that in their age. I mean in their wisdom around marriage. Okay,
yeah.
And we're going to look for those really gold nuggets to help us. Because marriage is not easy all the time. It's great at the beginning, huh?
Mm.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean,
first 5 years were amazing.
I think like most couples, you walk down that aisle and you look each other in the eye, and we were going to be invincible. We were invincible when we were at that stage. And and then obviously you get married, and it's great. We were great for the first 5 years, and then the curveballs come along in one form or another. Ours was in the form of infidelity for my part, which lasted a long time, and meant that Jackie had to really dig deep. For a long time, but she did, and she hung in, and somehow,
but by the grace of God,
I found my way back, because I was definitely lost in the quagmire of life.
Yeah,
I'd refound my party boots, and I was just living the life of a single person while I was married with a child. So, and so we had a long life, and then we've had a long Christian walk as well. So through that mess, Jackie became a Christian, and it took me 19 years to then find my way to that. So I'm just a tougher nut, right? It just takes me longer to get there.
But it was worth
look at the
goal
we've
fight.
Got now.
It's been an amazing walk, and as I said, initially we were invincible, right? So those first 5 years were just incredible. And we were non-Christian, so, it was just...
Yeah, we didn't grow up Christians.
We didn't grow up Christian at all, but we had a fantastic life. We loved each other madly, and nothing was going to stop us.
So I wanted to bring in here, because I know their story, and it is a very... it has a big impact, their story. It's massive. And, Umberto, I really appreciate your honesty when it comes to marriage, and I think... often we don't hear from men in marriage, we hear a lot of female voices, but I was very determined to have a male voice speak into marriage, because I think it's important to know, especially how to work things out, how a male mind works,
Do they know?
Thing work? I don't know. They think we're confusing. I'm like, I don't know.
Very simple.
not from the centre, it's not that simple.
No, exactly. And Jax has her own story around that. But you have a book out, guys. And so could you tell me a little bit about the book, the name of it and... Yeah.
The name of it.
Yeah.
That's funny, because we were thinking, the usual, like the little daisy, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not, and it just sounded too cheesy. And the one night we were just sitting talking, and the word corduroy, like the material, came into your head, hey?
Mm. Yeah.
And it was quite funny, because there's a few things around corduroy. Corduroy means... You know that.
Corduroy is the corduroy is the cloth of the king. So the cloth of the king. So and we really felt that being cut from the cloth of the king, so God, and the fact that we'd
and the weaving kind of it
been woven. So corduroy is a woven material, right? So the tapestry
it's
of
the
life,
cords.
Kind of thing, the cords, and then the cord, which is
the three cords
of three strands, is not easily broken.
We're going to talk about that. So a lot of people wouldn't understand that one.
Okay.
We're going to go into that one.
We'll go there.
And then...
The night we met was at my best friend's wedding, and Umberto was wearing a red corduroy shirt.
Of course.
Oh, wow.
What else?
And yeah. And it was really funny, because we just thought, God is in all the detail.
He is in all the details.
Because we had forgotten that, right? Hadn't we? Yeah. And then all of a sudden we thought, oh my gosh, there's detail here. It's not just by chance that it's that name. Yeah. I mean, and when you read it, Corduroy, you think, well, what does that have to do with marriage? But then obviously the cover of the book tells you, because it's, I'm in it, Umberto's in a, like a black shadow, I'm in more light because I'm the Christian.
Yeah.
And we've got the cords wrapped around our wrists binding us together.
A cord of,
the strands.
Red corduroy,
And the
book's written, so it's written by Jackie, but it's under a
pseudonym.
A nom de plume. So it's called by Hannah Brody.
And
there's a story to that too.
I didn't know that.
Hannah Brody. So Hannah
is me.
Is Jackie. Hannah is Jackie's gran's name. And she spent a lot of time with the gran as a young girl, and that she felt that that would kind of honor her gran's name. And then Brody is her Scottish
clan
name. So we thought,
you know, like the McDonald's and
all that kind of thing.
So it's the clan that
we thought that was, we thought it was a great link to Jackie, because we wanted to have a link, because we couldn't use Jackie's real name because of the nature of the book.
We had to change all the names.
Otherwise, we would have had to have got permission from everyone that's mentioned in the story.
Of course. Yeah,
and
that would be difficult.
We weren't going there.
No, you weren't going to go there?
No.
No, I've read the book. No, you're not going there.
No, we weren't going there.
It is an intense book. I've read it and I was amazed at your story, and for Jax, the journey there as a woman was massive. The learning as a man for you, Umberto, was massive. Now, you guys also run a marriage course in our church at Surfside, which you did last year.
We do one every year.
You're going to be doing it next year, and we're going to be talking about that a lot more too. Tell me the name of the course and what you, kind of give us a brief outline of what that's about.
So we run a variety of courses. So one of the main courses that the one we ran last year was called The Story of Marriage, which is by John and Lisa Bivier. They're well-known speakers and authors around the world, but they do a real great fundamental. It's a foundational, I suppose, explanation of what marriage and what God intended marriage to be,
nice.
And what we have to go through to have a good marriage, basically. Hey?
Yeah.
And then the course we ran this year was actually it's a course we put together. So we put together a course every year, based on a crowd called the XO Conference. And it is still Jimmy Evans, which was it's called Marriage Today. Hey, Marriage Today.
Yeah.
And it's now changed to XO, and he runs a course, a conference every year with various speakers: Craig Rochelle, you know, Rob Morris himself, Dave and Ashley Willis, any number of people.
Usually about 15
sessions. 15 speakers, and we take those sessions, we listen to them, we draw or we extract the seven best ones. And then we make up a course from it. We write up notes for it. We put it together in a presentation and a kind of PowerPoint display. And then that's what our intention is, to run it for churches like Surfside and also other churches out there. We want to take it out to, well, we already take it out to Whangarei.
Hamilton.
Done Hamilton. We want to stretch that further. And that's why we feel we've come to Raglan.
Mm.
We knew that if we stayed in Auckland, we'd always be too busy in Auckland, because we were busy in Auckland doing marriage. And marriage courses, but we really felt that we wanted to feed into regional New Zealand, the smaller kind of regional towns, just because their access to resources is just so much more limited than being in Auckland or Wellington or even Christchurch, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think God's called us to this because of what He's done in our marriage, and if He can help us and get us to where we are in our marriage, I mean, 41 years yet later, back then nobody would have even believed we would have stayed married, never mind 41 years later, and have a healthy marriage, you know. And we feel that if He can do that with us, then there's nothing impossible for Him. He can help anybody. You know, and we just want to encourage marriages that your marriage is worth fighting for. You know, and if we can help give couples tools how to do that, and then that's how we do it through the courses.
And you do premarital, like people would wonder, what's premarital anyway? It's a kind of a word we don't hear much these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just to explain that, it's just getting together with a couple before marriage to well, get some insight and some support, I guess. Mm-hmm. So and you guys tools. Do that. Yeah, and mm-hmm. tools, you do mm-hmm. that too mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm. So it's a program called Prepare Enrich. So it prepares the pre-marriage and enrich. It's the same course, but depending on the where the couple's at, whether it would be pre or post, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's about, generally speaking, pre-marriage is about 6 weeks where the couple do an online questionnaire and we'll get a report from that. And it's got all the key topics of what a marriage would entail, about 10 topics.
Mm.
Communication, yep. conflict, finance, all that sort of thing. And we just go through the report all. With the Ooh. Couple.
Yep, even those three subjects are...
Everything. They're the big... Communication is key. Roles. Absolutely yeah. key.
Oh, we're going to have fun in this marriage place, aren't we? Like, because it's massive.
It is
big. And we don't, like I said, we don't talk about it or unpack it. We just try and find our way through it. And often many of us don't talk about it because it's, you know, it's difficult to talk about issues. And we don't want to let people know.
We get married and we think that two individuals who have lived separate lives and that are going to seamlessly come together and have this amazing, flowing, beautiful marriage. Right? It doesn't work that way, right?
I mean, we go to uni stories. For everything else, you know, for college, to do college and things like that. And we upskill even in our work careers, but yet marriage is just going to happen.
Yeah, I love that, Jax, because as a counsellor, you know, it's almost like we need a warrant of fitness. You know, we put our car in for a warrant. Yeah. We get it checked every year.
Yeah.
If somebody tells us if there's something wrong, you know, we need to look at that and or that, you know, that's going to go if you
so
don't
you look
lose
at it.
Yeah, do it before
happens,
something
right?
happens. But we don't do this for ourselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't do the checkups. We don't do the marriage stuff. We, you know,
and that's exactly right. Going on a marriage course, right? We want to inspire couples to go on marriage courses at least once every 2 years, purely because exactly that, you know, because that inspires you. It teaches you some new skills. You learn something new. It kind of like brings you back to true north. And then over the space of 2 years, life happens and all the rest of it, and we all leak, right? We all sort of shift a bit away.
Yeah. That's a good word, leak. We like that. We all leak.
We need a refill.
So you need something just to nudge you back into life, right?
Because it's not all about the other one, it is me too.
You don't go to a marriage course because your marriage is broken. That's what a lot of people think. But you go to a marriage course just to make sure that you're kind of like realigned and you're kind of like
And you can grow together.
Yeah.
That word leaking, when I did my counselling, that was a word that was brought up in one of our sessions with counsellors in training, is if we haven't dealt with our own stuff, unfortunately we start leaking onto other people. So it's an interesting word. I had to smile when I heard that because I thought, I totally get what that means. If you haven't done your work, then we would leak onto the people, the issues that we have within ourselves. Any points there, Denise? Over in the corner there. Yeah, grab that mic.
Okay, I have a question about, because, you know, some people are quite task-driven and some people are really not. So for somebody who, like, doesn't like to set goals and doesn't like to do that kind of thing, how could a marriage course help them?
On goals.
So, a marriage course is less about necessarily setting goals, although there might be something that you get kind of like spoken about in terms of setting up goals and trying to consider where your life's heading, where your marriage is heading, what you'd like to get done, what you'd like to achieve in the next year, 2, 3, 4 years maybe even. And to consider that as a couple, right? To dream a little bit, to envision a little bit. Because dreaming and envisioning a little bit gives you a little bit of a sense of orientation together.
Purpose.
Yeah, we're not just ambling through life on a daily basis and just living life. We want to have something we're kind of aiming for, even if it's just aiming for. We want to go on a holiday in 2 years' time, and we want to get the kids to learn this. Or I want to learn to play the ukulele. How are you going to help me play the ukulele? So because
especially when you've got young ones,
We lead busy
lives. I will hum for you.
We lead busy lives. So you know, Jackie might say, "Oh well, you know, on a Thursday night, I'll take over the kids, and it gives you an extra hour to go and find a lesson somewhere." Something like that, you know. But we've then got something and a purpose that we're aiming for. Mm. It can be simple stuff, but it's that simple stuff that gives us purpose and it gives us a sense of unity and togetherness, right?
But I think it's also about, like, let's take us for example. I am not a goal setter. That just freaks me out. When Umberto comes to me with this 3 or 5 year plan, it's like I just totally freeze. And he's learned to work with that. And that's what it is. It's about learning to work with one another. So now what he does is he still does that. But he gives it. Yeah. I know you do it. But he gives me it in year chunks, which I can digest that. I can do a year. Okay, fine. I can work with that. So that's what we need to do. It's not that you push it on the other one that, no, we have to sit here and we have to do 3 years. We have to do 5 years because that freaks some of us out.
Yeah.
You know, and I really take my hat off to you, babes, because you did. You learned that and thought, okay, she can't manage this, so I'm going to give her a whole year.
Mm.
And just, it works.
Just to give you a bit of depth to that story. So when we first went into full-time ministry,
I
left my corporate, job.
Send him back to work.
Send him back to work. And I came home and I'd been thinking about it over a few, whatever, months or about the fact that we were going to full-time ministry. And so I developed this beautiful Excel spreadsheet with all the days, all the months
broken
up into two-hour blocks.
My gosh. I'm out of
And I panicked.
Poor Jake.
From like 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock
I can
night,
see her running for the hills.
How are we going to set up our 2 hours?
I said, God, when are you going to send him back to work?
We're going to write blogs. We're going to work on courses. It was like a work forum, right? Set up, boom. And she just like... lost it.
And if we get a phone call and somebody wants to come and talk to us, where are you going to fit them in? You've got everything blocked up.
But I'll tell you the best part. So we, the first year, I resigned in August. So that January, so 5 months later, we went on a planning breakaway. We went up to Pahia and we said we're going to have a week off and just plan the ministry. What's this looking like? Not just the year ahead, but what's this ministry looking like? Because we've never done this before. This is our beginning as such in terms of full time. And we get there and we said, okay, we'll have a little quiet time, kind of like consider where we're at, pray about it. Anyway, I seriously got downloaded, and it wasn't me looking for this word, trust me. Downloaded, I don't want you planning anything. I don't want you planning anything.
Yes, God is on my side.
What I got from God was, you know, because if you have your day planned out, your week planned out like that, you're just going to be able to then fit me into your schedule.
Wow.
I don't want to fit into your schedule.
Yeah.
I want to be your schedule.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. You know? Oh. And that was amazing, right?
And it has not been quiet.
And our diary now, and I took it on board, obviously God spoke to me. What else am I going to do?
listening today.
No, not listening today. I don't want to hear that. And so now our diary is empty. If you look at our diary from 1 month to the next month will be empty, just blank pages.
But you get to the end of that month.
Fills up.
It's full.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, he just fills it up. And that's how, it's totally not me, trust me.
Yeah. I think what I really enjoyed from listening to that was, you know, when you adjusted for Jax's personality type.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's the hard part to do, is that we might know what the person needs, but it doesn't mean we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it takes something within us, a real love, a real care for the other person to go, actually, I can make space for your personality and work with it and not against it.
So,
hats off to you, Umberto.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's
a great thing. Say, babe, marriage isn't 50-50. It's 100-100. And it's about both of us giving each other, I have to give him but 100 of me and he gives me 100 of him. So it's working that together.
Yeah.
You know.
So I was going to head into a song and we'll be right back with we're just going to close up. I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
That look, Umberto has come in with this massive list. It's like you kind of roll it out type first. There it is. Because he is so structured. I don't mind that at all, Umberto, because I can choose a lot out of that. So I'm going to pick out something and we're going to be back real soon.
The shadows bound for the gallows, a dead man walking till love came calling. Rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up.
6 feet.
thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. I thought that I was too far gone for everything I've done. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. All it was, I came alive. This beating heart, these open eyes, the gave it up. The darkness should have known.
There we go. You're listening to Marie on Faith Matters, 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. And we are in Marriage Matters with Umberto and Jax. And we're going to have this on a regular feature here. This is a great place for you to maybe pick up some little pointers, hear some amazing stories, or maybe you have some questions around marriage yourself, and you can email those questions in to me on Faith Matters 98.1 FM. No, I always say that wrong. I'm looking at Denise. She's not even looking at me.
I was listening and I was thinking on the listening. Inside.
Okay, it's Faith Matters 98.1 gmail.com. I keep wanting to put the FM in there. I'm really sorry. But anyway, before we wrap up this part of our show, as we come to the end, I did have a question for Umberto and Jax, because out of his beautiful list that he's got here, one caught my eye, and that is how do we listen? Do we listen to reply? Or are we listening to understand? Now, this is a really, because when we're in the heat of the moment, I know none of us is listening. No. I'm not listening to you. You're not listening to me. And I just want to have to say what I want to say. Yeah. And it doesn't really matter what you say, because I am already ready with what I'm going to say back. So this is a tough situation.
Always a tough topic, especially in terms of communication and how we do it, right? I mean, our go-to is always, as humans, is defensive, right? What we're listening and we're hearing what's coming at us, and we feel it's coming at us. And sometimes it's just a matter of trying to break away from that and develop a sense or a level of mutual empathy, right? A level of understanding where the other one's coming from. Why are they saying what they're saying? Why are they, as it feels like, on the attack? You know, they've had a bad day, they've come from a bad place, they've been in traffic, whatever it may be. And so often, if we just take a step and stop a second and consider, why is that coming at me like that? I think Jackie always says, you said it really well, right? Where is it? Just the consideration of, is this coming at me because of something I've done or something I've said? Or is it from them because of the way they are? They've something they've been through. So they, so often, right, when we've had a bad day at the office, we come home and that's where we can let go, right? That's where we let go of our
frustrations
and upset, right? We don't do it in the office.
Drop the mask.
Yeah, we can't do it in the office. Yep. We can't do it with our colleagues at work in the meeting. But we get home and who gets the brunt of it?
Our spouse, right?
And so often, if you just have that moment of considering where it's coming from, you can take away the fuel that's going to feed that conflict fire, right? That's going to escalate and spiral out of control just by the fact that you won't fuel it with that defensive response. Because that's what happens, right? We get defensive, we shout, bark back, whatever it is, boom, now it's on. Now it's on.
It's all on now.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just takes that moment to listen for what's behind it. Listen to understand where it's coming from, why. And then we can actually learn to maybe control some of those kind of like...
How would you do that, Umberto? Would you like check in with their day? Would you want to get a kind of feel for what their day was like? Would that give you an indicator? Or are you wanting them to actually tell you?
Yeah.
Well, I think that all depends whether it's the husband coming in or the wife, because men, if they've had a bad day, generally don't want to come home and talk about it because they've just been through it all. They don't want to have to now relive it telling you. So when Umberto was in corporate and he'd come home, what we learned was that he needed about 20 to half an hour space. He'd come home, say hello to me, and then I would leave him just to unwind and take the day, so to speak, take the day off.
Go and get changed, take my suit off, whatever I was wearing, get changed into my casual gear. Yeah.
And then he would be kind of like ready to come talk to me. And if I'd seen he's had a bad day, I said, can I make you a cup of tea? And straight away the defenses are downed. He's not going to bark at me. Whereas if he walks in and says, well, don't blame me for your bad mood.
Yeah,
I wasn't in your day.
We all know that one.
Straight away.
Oh, we all know this
language. It's not my fault. You know,
what's your problem?
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Yeah. I don't even want to talk to you now anyway. Oh, we know this.
Yeah, exactly. So when that, do we want that? No. And we wonder why does it get there? So, yeah. It's easier just to read the situation.
Yeah. Okay, like this is, I can see this is going to be so much fun. And these are the questions we're going to go to. So that was a little introductory time with Umberto and Jax. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
A really precious couple, and we're going to grab some real treasures. Denise, what are you going to say? You got your whole
I just love the fact that you guys are so real. There's no, what is it? Ears and graces, and putting the mask on to say, oh, it's all easy and lovely. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more as well.
Me too. I'm going to learn some stuff. I'm going to get some free learning. Oh, yes, I'm going to come with the questions that I need to know. Gosh, did I say that out loud? Yeah. Should have left that one in my head.
We're happy to share. Hey,
guys, thank you for listening to Faith Matters. Hey, if you're on a faith journey like many of us and you want to know more about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you're welcome to join us on Sunday, 10 a.m., Raglan Area School. We have Bevan speaking to this Sunday. I hope I've got that right. And we've got great worship and amazing hospitality. But more than that, it's people from our community. So if you want to get connected and, yeah, extend your friendship group, maybe get some encouragement, maybe be thankful for something, join us on Sunday and be a part of community and faith. Otherwise, be kind and gentle to self and each other, and have a great weekend. Look after our beautiful community of Whangaroa, and sunshine and happiness.
Yeah, I don't always feel it. Yeah, but that's when I need it the most. So I'm gonna keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. And there's times when my hands go up freely, times that it calls. There's days when a praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength I got. I'll bring my heart, fought, heartfelt, been through hell, hallelujah. And I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn-self story to tell, hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh. 'Cause God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. The struggle keeps me on it.
and it brings down the walls of my pride. Cause faith isn't proving like gold till it's been through.